This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Many African Americans regard Africa as a spiritual home. After spending 3 years in Africa, Keith Richburg had the opposite reaction. He thanks God he's American. He explains why in his new memoir, Out of America, A Black Man Confronts Africa. He was the Washington Post Nairobi bureau chief from 1991 to 94. During those years, he traveled across the continent, covering such stories as civil wars in Somalia and Rwanda, the last days of apartheid in South Africa, and the AIDS epidemic. Richburg is now the Post's Hong Kong bureau chief. He knows that one of his ancestors was an African who was taken to the Caribbean as a slave. Generations down the line, one of his descendants was taken to South Carolina. Richburg's father moved from there to Detroit. Here's a reading from the opening of Richburg's memoir.
And so it was that I came to be born in Detroit, and that 35 years later, a black man born in white America, I was in Africa, birthplace of my ancestors, standing at the edge of a river, not as an African but as an American journalist, a mere spectator, watching the bloated bodies of black Africans cascading over a waterfall. And that's when I thought about how, if things had been different, I might have been one of them, or might have met some similarly anonymous fate in one of the countless ongoing civil wars or tribal clashes on this brutal continent. And so I thank God my ancestor survived that voyage. Does that sound shocking? Does it sound almost like a justification for the terrible crime of slavery? Does it sound like this man has forgotten his African roots? Of course it does, all that and more. And that is precisely why I have tried to keep this emotion buried so deep for so long, and why it pains me so now to put these words in print for all the world to see. But I am writing this so you will understand better what I am trying to say. It might have been easier for me just to keep all of these emotions bottled up inside. Maybe I should have just written a standard book on Africa that would have talked broadly about the politics, the possibilities, the prospects for change. But I'm tired of lying. And I'm tired of all the ignorance and hypocrisy and the double standards I hear and read about Africa, much of it from people who've never been there, let alone spent 3 years walking around amid the corpses. Talk to me about Africa and my black roots and my kinship with my African brothers, and I'll throw it back in your face, and then I'll rub your nose in the images of the rotting flesh.
Keith Richburg, I have to say, you didn't read that in an angry voice, but the words are very angry.
There was a lot of anger there because, as I say in the book, so much of what I see and read about Africa is just so wrong. And I really felt that there was a need to shock people, to get them to look at the rest of this book and to listen to what I had to say. And I wanted them to focus on some of these images.
What are some of the things you saw in Africa that made you feel so repelled?
You know, what it really boils down is to just the inhumanity of man against fellow man that I saw there. And it started out when I first went into Somalia, and I was there during the famine that most people might remember, 1991-92. And not only was it a famine, but it was a man-made famine. I walked around and watched gunmen keeping entire villages held hostage while people starved to death literally in front of my eyes. I saw, after the American Marines intervened in Somalia, how the entire operation turned into a guerrilla war just because of the opposition of a few armed factions, when in fact this was an intervention that was really this there to save people's lives. You know, I saw Rwanda. I saw some of the most horrific scenes of massacres there. As I would come up on them afterwards, you'd see in churches the blood splattered across the altar where people had been butchered, where they went to take refuge. And then in Rwanda, walking around among the cholera epidemic, watching bodies being dumped in a river, bodies being dumped in mass graves for burial. And in Zaire, you know, that was one of the more interesting places because Zaire was not at the time in the middle of a civil war. But there also I was able to see some of the horrific decay in that city, of Kinshasa, which could have been one of the great cities in Africa. And it was just completely overrun by destruction, despair. You could see elephant grass literally growing between the buildings that were standing unused. And it was all because of greed, corruption. And it was sort of that, like I said, the inhumanity, the greed, the corruption that really distressed me about Africa.
But you seem to have left Africa hating all of Africa, not just hating the greed and corruption within it.
You know, as I say in the book, I left without any hatred towards the people, because it was the people who I felt worst about. It was the innocent, struggling, hard-suffering Africans who I felt were being betrayed by their own systems, their own governments. I left with very bad feelings about the place, but in a lot of ways, though, it's I think what I wrote was a positive book, because what it did for me, being there for 3 years and 3 months, was help me reaffirm my own identity, and that's an identity as an American, and that's why the book is called Out of America.
You write that in Somalia you learned what it's like to be a black reporter in Africa. How do you think your position compared to the position of white reporters covering the same stories?
It was a double-edged sword. In some cases, and Somalia is one I can think of, there were times when a black reporter could go out, not identify himself immediately as a reporter, and be able to walk the streets, not draw attention as a white reporter might draw attention. And those were during the times when it was unsafe for foreigners to be there. I could disguise myself as a local, so to speak. That was the benefit. There were other times when it was clearly a detriment, and I must say that the times when it was a detriment being black in Africa outweighed the times when it was a benefit. The problem is, as in Somalia, when there's a clan war, a faction war, a tribal war going on anywhere in the continent, if you're black, you automatically are assumed to be on one side or another. And often, if you're a black American, they can't distinguish where you're from, so they assume you're from the enemy tribe. It's very dangerous for black reporters to be in places where there are tribal wars going on. And I did learn that. I've had AK-47s rammed in my face and shoved into my chest, and people demanding to know which tribe I was. And that's the most dangerous, most frightening position you can ever be in.
I think what really shocked you is when you got similar treatment from American troops.
That did shock me, because I had expected a little bit better treatment from American soldiers, but I often found that they were frightened. They were scared on the ground in Somalia. They were being targeted by snipers almost on a daily basis there. And once, when my car in Somalia had a flat tire and I was stranded and it was getting dark and I was quite frightened and I was trying to hitch a ride, an American convoy came by and they stared straight at me and left me standing there in the streets as I was waving furiously at them, trying to get them to see my American passport. But they weren't taking any chances. All they saw was a black man. To them, a Somali, an African, standing on the side of the road, a potential assassin, a potential sniper. And I learned then from that experience that they weren't looking beyond the color of my skin.
We've been talking about having an AK-47 thrust into your back and things along those lines. There's a lot of slights that you were confronted with along the way, too. And you say of all the slights, the worst were the put-downs by whites, white Africans or European residents of Africa. What are some examples of that?
Well, those were the kind of slights you felt on an almost daily basis in some cases, and especially in Kenya where I lived. As I said, the situation with having AK-47s pointed at you happened in the war zones, but just daily life in Kenya could be a constant series of such slights. I remember once standing in line at a grocery store and having a white woman, a European woman, step straight in front of me as I was about to go to the cash register to put my items down. And I said to her, "Excuse me, I think I'm here ahead of you." And she heard my American accent and became momentarily flustered and said, "Oh, excuse me, I thought you were an African," as if that would make it okay.
Mm-hmm.
There were constant instances like that, just waiting for service in restaurants and seeing white couples who've come in after I getting served first, and I have to raise my voice and have the waiter say, "Oh, sorry, sir, we didn't know you were an American. We didn't know you were a foreigner." It's because in a lot of these countries, Africans themselves are not treated with much dignity and respect. And you find that foreigners, and in this case I mean white foreigners, are treated with more dignity and respect. And that's what I saw on a daily basis there.
Keith Richburg is my guest, and his new memoir, Out of America, A Black Man Confronts Africa, is about his years covering Africa for The Washington Post when he was the Nairobi bureau chief. What were you expecting to feel when you first went to Africa for The Washington Post?
I didn't really have any preconceived notions. I'd gone to Africa after 4 years as the Washington Post Southeast Asia bureau chief, so I had some experience in refugee camps in Cambodia. I'd had a lot of experience covering issues of development, third world poverty. I'd lived in the Philippines. I traveled a lot around Vietnam. I expected Africa to be underdeveloped. It was, of course. But on a more personal level, I guess I was thinking that for the first time in my life, I would be in a place where I would not be in the minority. And I thought there might be some sense of maybe liberation in that, being able to walk in a country where I looked like everyone else, where I wouldn't automatically be distinguished by the color of my skin. I wasn't quite sure what the reaction would be to me as a Black American. I would say I went with an open mind. I had some experience, at least on an academic level in Africa. I knew what I was getting into. I knew that there were countries in the middle of civil wars. I knew that there were going to be problems there. I guess what shocked me, what surprised me, what I guess you could say horrified me was kind of the scope and scale of some of the violence I saw there. The waste of human life, the way that I saw bodies piled up and no one bothered to take names. And I found that very disturbing. And I guess the conclusion of that was I came back from that experience more convinced, more committed to my own American culture and American values.
Why? I mean, why did you not come back thinking, you know, that what you wanted to do was help reform Africa? I'm not saying you needed to come back feeling that way, but I'm just, you know, wondering what...
Well, I guess, you know, when I came back from Africa, I came back with the attitude of a detached observer, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, as with many, I can still watch on television when I see the scenes of refugees and my heart goes out to them. But I no longer feel that I have a special connection to the place. I no longer feel that I owe it to any connection I have to Africa to be more concerned than anyone else. I'll send in my check to the Red Cross or whatever aid group is soliciting funds for whatever crisis it may be. But it really made me convinced, my experience there really convinced me that the Black people of America belong in America. We've been here for hundreds of years now. Our contributions to American culture are rich and deep. And I think that for those who are holding up Africa as a place where we can walk with dignity and pride, where somehow we still have this cultural and emotional connection, I'm saying that I've been there. I've spent 3 years there and 3 months, and it's not like that. Our connections are not there. Our home is in America. And I think what we need to do is work on making the American tapestry fuller and richer and more inclusive instead of holding out hope that we might find home somewhere else.
Do you think your strong negative feelings about Africa have to do with that for the most part you were covering wars and famines, you were exposed to the worst aspects that any culture can offer? You weren't sent to Africa to cover, you know, what's up at the best universities on the continent and what's it like for the middle class and what are some of the richest cultural traditions Africa has to offer? I mean, that just basically wasn't your beat.
Obviously, when you're a journalist and you end up covering the crisis stories, and in Africa it has more than its share of crises, but it was in addition to the crises, and I try to make the point in the book, it was a lot of the day-to-day abuses. It was a lot of the day-to-day problems of Africa that just wore me down. I did try. I made a very big point of trying to go to countries that were not in the middle of civil wars, did not suffer from refugee crises. I went to places like Zambia, which had just had a democratic election and I thought was on the path to some kind of democratic reform. I spent a lot of time in some of the Western African states, Gabon, Senegal, places that were not in the middle of any kind of civil war and were on the surface tranquil. And it was just even there I saw that, first of all, the Black middle class is almost non-existent at this point. There isn't much of a private sector in most of these countries. And even in places where they do not have the same kind of tribal difficulties or warfare going on, the people are still suffering. They're suffering from undemocratic institutions. They're suffering from a lack of freedoms. They're suffering from everyday indignities. And it was that, really, more than the civil wars and the famines that wore me down. It's just that basic daily lack of dignity in a lot of these places that I did cover. And believe me, I did go around and try to find hope in some countries. And each time I came away just more distressed, actually, at what I saw and less optimistic than I normally am.
My guest is Washington Post foreign correspondent Keith Richburg. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Keith Richburg. His new memoir, Out of America, is about his 3 years covering Africa for the Washington Post and how it affected his identity as an African American. How do you deal with this? You end your book by very clearly asserting your identity as an American and saying you don't even like the expression African-American anymore because you're just so disillusioned by Africa. Yet I'm sure that there are many times in America when you feel, you know, really alienated and really angry.
Yes, and I say that I say very clearly in the conclusion of the book, as you said, that there are times when I myself feel alienated in America. But having been to Africa, I know that my value system is more American than it is anything else. I think Americans of any ethnic background, any ancestry, we all have more in common with each other than we do with what's on the other side of the hyphen, whether we're American Chinese, American Polish, American Irish, American Arab, or American Africans. I think what we need to do is work on how we can get along with each other, appreciate what each of us has brought into this great American tapestry of ours, and move beyond the kind of divisiveness and resegregating ourselves into duchies that seems to be going on now. And so that's why I think what this book really is, it's a positive reaffirmation of America. And what I'm saying is we should really be working towards creating a society where people really can be judged by the content of their character and not the color of their skin, instead of holding on to a mythical ancestral homeland that, quite frankly, we left 400 years ago and have absolutely no connection to today.
I guess one of the things I find interesting about the book is that you're, seems to be trying to puzzle through how to deal with the fact that your ancestors were brought here as slaves, and yet you've managed to prosper intellectually in America. Do you know what I mean? So on the one hand, you don't want to deny the horrors that your ancestors were exposed to, and the ultimate indignity of slavery. On the other hand, you don't want to deny the fact that you've had a very decent life in America.
Well, exactly. And, you know, I think it was the Reverend Jesse Jackson who some time ago coined the phrase, "We may have come over on different ships, but we're in the same boat now." And I actually like that phrase because it does sum up the fact that, sure, our ancestors came here as slaves, and slavery was an evil institution. And I think we need to teach people about slavery and the evils inflicted upon black people. We need to remember Jim Crow and the segregationist laws that lasted really through the 1950s up and including into the beginning of my lifetime. But what I'm saying is that black people in America still have more opportunities, more freedom, more dignity than their counterparts who were left behind. I don't think it's a denial of the evils of slavery, the evils of Jim Crow, to say that black Americans are, you know, on the whole, quite a lot more fortunate than most black Africans, and which is why I saw this among Africans, this great desire to talk to me about America, to talk to me about what it was like being in America, to express this attitude, this sentiment that how lucky you are you were born in the United States. You're very lucky.
I guess part of that perspective depends on class, too. You know, if a couple of generations of your family haven't been able to move out of housing projects where you're kind of under fire by crack dealers a lot of the time, America might look different.
Of course, yeah. And, you know, that's, I think what happens is because there's so much of America that's been left behind so much of black America that's been left behind in the underclass, in the ghettos, in cities like Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., Detroit, where I'm from, New York, obviously, Los Angeles, there's a tendency to think that that is black America. And I think we do ourselves a bit of a disservice by not looking at the fact that, you know, there's a good chunk of black America that has made it out. There is a good chunk of black America that is doing quite well and prospering. If you're going to look for most of the black PhDs, if you're going to look for most of the black doctors, if you're going to look for most of the sources of black wealth, I would say start looking in America. And there you can find black Americans who are really achieving. We don't need to look to Africa to find heroes. We don't need to look to Africa to find role models. We have them right here in the United States.
In the beginning of your book, you say that you found that until recently you had to keep the sentiments that you've been expressing a secret. Why did you feel like you had to keep these sentiments to yourself?
Well, because obviously in these times, you know, there are some things that are not sort of correct to be said openly for any black man to admit that he actually is glad he was born in America and not born in Africa would not be something that would be kind of accepted in the black community. You know, but as I was sitting down to write this book and I was asked to write a book on my experiences in Africa, you know, I decided I had to be honest. I did not want to just do the standard journalist end of tour book where I describe the places I'd been and in a very dispassionate way analyze the problems of Africa, because I decided that would not be an honest book. And I decided that if I were going to put something, if I were going to put pen to paper, or in this day and age, the fingers to the computer keys, I had to really reach down into myself and bring out these feelings, because I thought that would be the only real honest way I could say that this is the book of my reflections on Africa, and this is what I really feel.
Well, Keith Richberg, I thank you very much for talking with us.
Well, thank you for having me on. I've really enjoyed this chat.
Keith Richberg's new memoir is called Out of America, A Black Man Confronts Africa. He's now the Washington Post's Hong Kong bureau chief.